1 John chapter 4, please. We'll take just a few minutes here tonight. I never get tired of talking about the fact that we can have fellowship with God. I mean, that's the core of our message from the Word of God, to glorify Him by having the fellowship with God that He desired for us at creation and that He provided for us at the cross through redemption. And the Apostle John here, in one of the last books written in the New Testament, is himself reveling and urging this matter of understanding that once we're saved, we have the privilege of having a genuine, personal, real, ongoing, consistent relationship with the ascended Christ. My friends, He's here tonight. His Spirit is in your life. He wants us to know Him. To know God is life. God is life. And so it's something that is just the heartthrob of 1 John, as we've talked about quite a bit. But I want to focus in just directly in the two verses that we'll be looking at this evening, tied to the verses that we've spoken on previously in the last couple of messages. Verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." These verses are packed, as all these verses in 1 John are, with a lot of meaning. Now, first of all, we see in chapter 15, this matter of having an abiding relationship in which God dwells in us and we in God. And by the way, that is a tremendous thought. That's introduced back in John chapter 14, that we are in Him and He's in us once we know Him as Savior. We have that great concept given here again. But the key to this is the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, one of the things that you'll find in today's Christendom is a sort of a fuzzy idea of just sort of knowing God by emotion. No, we come to know God through the revealed truth of God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And folks, you have to get it right about Jesus Christ. Every time Satan attacks to try to bring a schism into Christianity and develop a perversion of it, almost always the attack is on Christ and who He is. If He is not the incarnate Son of God, we have no hope. God came to earth to take our place on that cross. He became a man so He could legally be our substitute. He was without sin. He was God. And He was able to die for the sins of the whole race. We're here tonight because He is the Son of God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Every person here that's a genuine believer tonight, there was some point in your life when you understood your need, that you could not get to God on your own. There was no way for you to have your sin problem dealt with on your own. And you realize that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the God-man, died for you. And you realize that He was the answer. He was the only way. The moment you put your faith in Him, everything changed for you for eternity. It all centered on the fact you believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And you were willing to confess that. A person is not saved if they're not willing to declare, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I put my faith in Him." A believer is not ashamed, verse 13 of that same chapter in Romans chapter 10. But in this, I want us to see, you have the idea that it is an abiding reality. The Son of God, the one that we just marvel, that died for us. Now look at that verse again. Whoever confesses that, and if you're saved here tonight, you did. God dwelleth in you, and you in God. The one that we thrill about that died on the cross, the one who is risen, the one that we talk about, the one that our faith is placed on, dwells in us. There's a living, vital reality of the fact that we are in an actual union with God. You know, our human minds just doesn't, we don't get that. But when we are spiritually awake, that becomes a thrill. Folks, your salvation was not just a point in time. Yes, it was a point in time in that there was a moment you were not saved, and then you were saved and you became a child of God. But your salvation is still going on. And you are having an ongoing dwelling of the one who died upon the cross. He is in a real relationship with you. Now, folks, I want us to realize tonight, it is going to be quite the moment when you see Jesus on the throne. Could be tonight. In fact, he'll call us up before he goes back and sits on the throne. We'll have the rapture of the church. And you're going to look around and you're going to be marveling, I'm glorified. I'm resurrected. I have a new body, likened to the Savior. But that will be a very minimal marvel when you look at the glorious Savior in humanity, in a glorified body, but his divinity shining forth in unbelievable splendor as we see in Revelation 1. But we will really marvel when we realize he's the only one with scars. He's the only one that's quote-unquote imperfect in his body. He bears for all eternity, the God of heaven, the Creator, he bears in him the marks of my sin. Now, friends, there will be no pride in heaven because you will be unable to look at the Savior and ever forget, oh, that's because of me. That's why, folks, it's so terrible when we have presumptuous sin. In the name of grace, we go ahead and sin. It ought to break our hearts. We tread on the blood of Christ. I think one of the best things you need to do during confession every day when you're praying is say, Lord, you paid for that sin. Forgive me. I hurt you even more. Remember, I don't understand all this, but Jesus is eternal. He lives in the past, present, and future simultaneously. Think about it. I've had a couple of times when I've been overwhelmed by that. You know, it is a big deal when I sin. And folks, we have the provision not to regularly sin, as we talked about this morning. And so when we believe, when we confess, when we embrace that Jesus is the Son of God, it changes everything. We're saved, and we dwell in him, and he dwells in us. And that relationship needs to dominate our lives, as we see in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now we get down to a very practical reality. God is love. God is the total opposite of self and the limitations of fallen man. God so loved us that he gave. His very nature, though he is a just and holy God, his very nature is to give. His very nature is to want the best. My friends, right now, God Almighty, the triune God, has done everything and is doing everything possible to give you the best. Now, folks, this to me, and I said it to the college a while back, I think I said it to the teens recently, this is a point of theology that a Christian's got to get a hold of their minds. God wants nothing but good for you. And to think that anything that God wants you to do will be bad for you is an affront to the love of God. You are saying, and I want you to get this, when you think surrender, when you think giving up something in the world is going to be bad for you, you are saying that God really doesn't love me. Now, theologically, you'd never say that. But it's a horrible thing. Any unsurrendered Christian in this building tonight is a Christian who questions the love and goodness of God. He's never done you wrong. Your breath, your life, anything you've ever enjoyed that's right, and your eternal life is all because he so loved you he died in your place. Jesus is making intercession for you right now. He is moved about the needs of your life. And young person, and child, and college student, and adult, we need to wake up. God only wants good for us, and one of the best decisions you'll ever make is to believe it. My God's good. He is glorious. He's perfect. He has never done me wrong. He will never do me wrong. Everything he wants me to do is right. I need to yield to him completely, and it ought not be a hard thing to do. You don't really believe God's love if you won't surrender. And I tell you, that trumpet could sound tonight. I sure wouldn't want to be unsurrendered. All of a sudden, there he is. Scars. Scars. Love. One look from the Savior. Paul knew that. And he wanted that look from the Savior to be one of joy, not sadness. And so we believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's great. And we rejoice that he dwells in us and we in him. But are we really living in the reality of that fellowship? And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. You can't believe in the Son of God without believing in love, because he became the Son of God on this earth for us. That's love. You can't believe in salvation. You can't believe in anything that the Word of God says if you don't believe God is love. Right? Isn't that theological? Nobody here would argue with that. God is love. He's the author of love. He's the creator of love. He is the essence of love. He is the power of love. He is love. You've never loved without his love. You can't love your wife, you can't love your husband, your children, your parents, anyone else. You certainly can't love the lost without the love of God flowing through you. He is love. But he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, I just want this simple thought, and we'll be done. Really, a key understanding. And we hear it talked about all the time. Oh, to know him, to walk with him, to be in step with him, to have a relationship with him, to have fellowship with him. Over and over we talk about it. It's taking your theology. He's the Son of God. My salvation is from him. I believe that. Boy, that just ought to resonate. And that he dwells in me. The Spirit of God is in me, therefore Christ is in me, and I am in Christ. I am actually spiritually in Christ at the throne. Those are glorious truths. But the practical reality is, we know that all this happened because he loved us. God is love. And so the person that is going to experience the reality of the dwelling relationship is the person that's going to say, I love you. And I'm going to accept your love. And I'm going to quit loving me. And quit loving the world that's created or that is orchestrated by your arch enemy. I want to dwell in your love. And I'm going to love you. I'm telling you, when you love somebody, when there's a commitment in marriage, that love causes you to put off everything else. And a good marriage is when you're living in that constant reality of that love relationship. Would you accept God's love tonight? Isn't that amazing? I have to preach about this. Man, it's sweet when somebody loves you, isn't it? Don't you just, I mean, it's overwhelming. Somebody really loves you. And here's God. He's ready to answer your prayers. He's really ready to meet your needs. He's willing to give you wisdom. He's willing to give you grace. He's willing to deliver you from your problems. He's willing to give you the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. He's willing to walk with you. He's willing to give you the deep satisfaction of only a relationship with God, that satisfaction. And to be there, and he just simply wants you to love him, to say, it's not me but you, and then I will receive your love. It's a love relationship. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You know why you don't really understand the relationship of God tonight? It's a little bit of a mystery. You haven't decided to put him first. Folks, we ought to be loving him with all of our heart. The Holy Spirit is jealously working your heart right now. As James chapter 4 says, he's battling to get you to love Jesus. Folks, it's time that God's people are consumed with the love of Christ. I'm telling you, when you choose to love him, he just flows that love right back. And I'm telling you, life doesn't get any better than loving Jesus and having Jesus love you. It's really true. That's what your heart is crying out for. We substitute it with relationships. We substitute it with escapes. We substitute it with things of this world that we love and materialistic things. And we get all caught up with self-love, by having ourselves to be lifted up and to be appreciated or to achieve, and all those things are flat and empty. So let me just finish tonight. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you? Do you believe he's the only way to salvation? Now, I want a good full participation. Do you believe that he has saved you?
Yes.
All right. He has. Now then, do you believe that he loves you? And do you believe that he only wants good for you?
Yes.
Then what should we do? We should love the one that loves us and step into a real relationship. You know, I wish every young person here, every young adult here, every adult here would just wake up to the fact God is good. What am I thinking? Anytime you look to yourself, anytime you say no to him, you're dying. You're not experiencing love, his love. You're not understanding all that he wants you to have. You need to confess. He is the Son of God, and he is love. And I'm not going to yield to my rotten self. I am going to instead yield to the one who came to this earth. He created me, and he died for me, and he loves me, and he's interceding for me. I'm going to throw out the lies, and I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. And he'll give his heart to you. Theology should lead to love. Jesus is the Son of God. Let's bow for prayer. God is good. God is good. God is good. He wants nothing but the best for you. He gives glorious gifts. He gives exquisite gifts. He will never hurt you. He will never do anything that is wrong, for he is the Son of God. Do you tonight need to say, I believe that? Do you tonight need to say, Lord, you have loved me so much, and I'm not loving you in return? Do you need tonight just need to say, Lord, I choose to trust that you're good, that you love me, and I am choosing right now to put you at the center of my affections in my life. I choose to love you. Are you willing to do that tonight? We ought to be living in his love. I'm telling you, every day you can bask in the love of God if you are awake to it and are yielded to him. As a believer tonight, you say, Pastor, I am making a willful choice tonight to accept the fact that God loves me and everything he wants for me is good. And I choose to love him tonight with all of my heart, full surrender. I want to develop a love relationship with him that will change my life. I want to know him. And I'm choosing to trust him that his way is best for me. With no one looking, if you'd say tonight, Pastor, I need to be decisive about that. I choose to make him the love of my life. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to enable me, and I know he will. And I know I need to surrender if I'm going to do that. But I believe God's way is the best. And I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe that he is love. And I choose to love him tonight. His heads are bowed. Would you just slip your hand up as a strong testimony? I choose to love him. I choose to believe he's good. God bless you. May you put your hands down. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever come to the place where I realize he's the only way of salvation. Friend, if you have any doubt in your heart, it's possible that you've never trusted Christ. It's never what we do. It's always what he has done. He is love. He so loved the world, the Father did, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tonight you'd say, oh, my heart is stirred too. I want to know him as a child of God. I want to know how I can have that eternal relationship. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and join these others? We'd love to pray for you tonight. Anyone like that? I'm burdened about my eternal life. Would you pray for me? Now, Lord, you've seen these many hands tonight. Lord, if we love you, we're going to take time. I know many folks are really endeavoring to spend that hour with you. Give them power to do that. Lord, we can't love you if we don't talk to you. We don't give you the first place in our life. Lord, I'm asking that you'll bring this church into a very fervent love, that you're on our minds. You are more glorious than anything else. You are good. I can trust you. May that be the heart cry of everyone here. Now, Lord, you know those that ought to be decisive publicly even tonight, that they choose to love you. They don't care what anybody thinks about them. They don't care what that means. They choose to love the one that loves them. Lord, would you give courage to do what's right tonight? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.